Live from Bella Notte Restaurante in beautiful downtown. News Talk 970 WKHM, in conjunction with the Jackson Chamber of Commerce, are proud to bring you Good Morning Greater Jackson. And now, here's your hosts, Greg O'Connor and Rick Walton.
Beautiful morning. Another warm day, huh, Greg?
Yep.
One more warm day. I'm going to be back to reality. Start getting back to reality, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be nice.
It's going to be nice, though. That's right.
This week, yeah.
Boy, this microphone makes my voice really sound low, doesn't it? Kind of sexy, I think, doesn't it? What the heck? I should be a singer right now.
Go for it. Come on.
Let me. Okay. Hey. Well, Greg, we got a great show today, don't we? What do we have today?
I think we do. Dr. Mark McFerrin is here.
You're
United
kidding.
Way. There's a shocker. Brown's Advanced Care Pharmacy.
They're here too?
Center for Family Health. And the Chamber. What would they be doing here?
I don't have a clue. Why would they be here? So we're going to start out. Should we start out with Mark today?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to start out with Mark McFerrin, dentist. He has a patient right now in his chair, he told me before, so he's got to talk quick and get out of here. Did you shoot him up or something so they get that Novocaine in him?
Somebody else is doing that part.
Okay. I always love that part when that big needle comes. You know, it's so fun, isn't it? You see that needle ready to go in your mouth, and you think, oh, my gosh.
And then we say, just a little pinch.
Just a little what?
A little pinch.
Pinch. You know, I think you guys are getting better at that. I think it has gotten better over the years, hasn't it? Right? Way in the back or something like that. I don't know. I'm talking to the drug guy over here. He's telling me that. So you guys got a lot of new things going on over there right now. You got a brand new dental hygienist.
Yes, we brought Hope Lovin today, and she's been with us for about 6 months. Huh? Doing really well. We're glad to have her. She's a hometown girl, so anytime we can bring one of ours back to Jackson.
Is this her first job as a dental hygienist?
Yes, this is my first job.
It's what?
My first job.
First job. Do you like it?
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Really do. You know, I like it when I go to the dental hygienist because your teeth just feel better, don't they? I think they really do. Yeah. So what made you become a dental hygienist?
It's what I always wanted to do. I always liked getting cleanings when I was growing up, and I always felt better after I left. Never had any cavities, so it was always a positive experience for me.
So when you were growing up, you wanted to make sure you wanted to be a dental hygienist when you were a little girl?
Yeah, actually, yes.
Wow. Okay. Are you connected to the dental industry some way?
No, I have some. My neighbors growing up were dentists, so but that's it. No family.
Well, great. Well, we're glad you came back. You're from Jackson. You went to high school here somewhere?
Onsted.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Well, welcome back. We're glad you're back.
Thank you.
Yep. You got something that's really interesting here. It says there's sleep apnea. Dentist options versus the CPAP. That's, I think, intrigues a lot of people because we all like to sleep at night, and I know a lot of people are using that CPAP right now. So tell us about it. What the heck's going on with this, your new dental option?
Well, I think if you hear from Jimmy, the Zipa guy on the radio, that gives you kind of an introduction, but really sleep apnea in America is a real health risk. And there are just lots of people out there who can't do a CPAP. And for those of you who don't know that, it's a mask that you wear that pushes positive air in to open your airway. And most people think about it as just an anti-snoring device. But people die from it. People have long, tough, hard days. Their average lifespan is a lot shorter. So the dental industry has created a device that pulls a person's jaw forward to open up the airway, and they use that at night. Unfortunately, it's considered a medical device, so in order for me to provide that to you, I have to have a physician do a sleep study, determine at what level the apnea is, and then we can provide that for the patient. Many people don't want to have to travel with their CPAP machines or they're claustrophobic, they can't wear it, so it's just a great alternative for the traditional route.
No kidding. So it's is this something brand new? Has it been out there for a while?
It has been out there for a while, but we called them snore guards.
Really?
To keep you from getting divorced, keep your marriage together. But now, the medical industry has said it. You know, if it's a prescription, then it is a medical problem, and we can no longer label it that. So we have to work hand in hand with the physician.
Sounds cool. I mean, everybody likes to get a good night's sleep, don't you, Greg?
Yes.
I thought so. I thought so. Even if you're up so early all the time, I know that. So you also talk about here you got in-house implants. What's that all about?
Well, we're trying in our office for so long. We've got great surgeons in town to do dental implants, and the really difficult ones, we're glad to have them do that. But I have so many patients who get confused. What is this doctor doing? He's doing the surgery, and then what are you restoring? And if I can be the quarterback for the whole thing, it just makes for a much smoother operation for the patient. So we've just started implementing doing the surgical procedure as well as restoring them.
Well, you know, there's so many things. I got to believe that the dental industry, you probably like almost every industry, you guys have really come a long way from where you were, even when you started. I don't know how long ago you started, Mark, but it had to be over 10 years ago.
Just a little bit, yeah. 1986.
86. Is there a little bit difference now in the way you practice today than what you did back then?
When I started out, we didn't wear gloves except for surgery. Otherwise, there were no latex gloves. I don't think I've done a silver filling in probably 15 years, and that's all we were trained to do in school. Crowns now have no metal substructure, whereas we used to do all gold work when I got out of school. So, yeah, it's really changed, come a long way.
Yes. What are some of the great things that have happened now? You think that are just, you know, changed your industry?
One of the fun things that I've been enjoying, I thought it would have caught on a little bit more in the rest of the dentists in town, but we have a machine that's called a CIRAC, and the traditional way, if you came in and needed a crown, I would prepare the tooth, take an impression, send it to the lab that would make it. You'd have to wear a temporary crown. Well, now we've got the technology that I'll prep the tooth, scan it digitally, design the crown while you're in the chair on the computer right next to you, and then mill it in a lathe in our office while you're sitting there, so you don't have to come back and get numbed up 2 weeks later. You don't have to have a temporary. So it's been, you know, it's been a great, great addition to dentistry.
So are you taking new patients?
Yes, we are.
All right. And where are you guys located?
2002 on Spring Arbor Road, right across from the Polly's and the old Garcia building.
All right. Well, great. Well, thanks so much. You know, thanks for being here and expanding and all the great things you're doing. And good luck to you and keep it going.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Dr. Mark McFerrin. United Way of Jackson County is here. That would be Ken Toll, Mark Daly, Beth Schaefer, Chad Rumsey. And, you know, I was driving down here, Chad, asking myself, why is Chad so passionate and involved in United Way?
Why am I so passionate and involved?
That's the question, pressing, burning question.
I wonder why everybody's not so passionate and involved.
That's
my goal.
That's part two.
Yep. No, my piece of it, United Way does great things. We're helping the community, helping the whole world, basically. But it kind of strikes a chord with what we've changed to recently, going to financial stability and helping poverty, helping families in Jackson with that aspect of it. And with my career in the banking side of it, it's a natural fit. So it's kind of nice to see as we progress and move forward with different pieces and see what the stages are that are causing or some of the issues of the root cause, and then now helping that by helping these families and helping these individuals gain access to different pieces, whether that's healthcare, education, just financial stability. Ken has told us many stories of just simple things. One little car issue causing issues. So anything we can do to help out in that regards to make sure people continue with jobs, can get to their jobs, educational pieces, and that's all we're here for is to help out in that regard.
How did you get started? Is there a story behind that?
Actually, you would know this person, Dave Krieger.
I do.
Which was also on the board and part of the campaign piece as well. Back 5 years ago, I believe I've been with the group now. So that whole piece of it just transitioned, and Dave asked me to help out with solicitation, and here I sit today as the co-chair with the capital campaign.
So campaign off and rolling?
Campaign is often. Good? Yep. Excellent. Bags are distributed or being distributed right now for all the campaign coordinators. Obviously, the boat race kickoff we had. So as we move forward, we're just looking for all those donations, and we appreciate the support. And I know there are several people that were at that kickoff for the boat race that are sitting in this room. So one of them is on the other microphone.
Yeah. How'd you do, Rick? Did you float?
We got wet. We got wet. We did pretty good.
That's the key.
I've got a master boat builder. That's why we were so good to know and everything else.
But not that good.
Yeah, we came in second out of 15 or something. It wasn't too bad. Best boat, too, wasn't it? Because I was a designer.
You could have had judge's choice, but you didn't bribe the judges quite enough, remember? Next year, extra $50 in the kitty, and you can win.
Next year, I know.
Ken's going to give us a wrap-up on the boat race?
It was a fantabulous event. You should give the wrap-up, Greg. You're better sports than I am, but I'll give it a shot. We had 16 boats in the field, more than 300 attendees. We had a drone taking footage, and we were able to count people in the crowd, biggest crowd ever. It was fantastic. And, of course, Mackey won the race. A two-person boat piloted by a couple of their execs just edged out Batman and a couple of other slackers to take the title.
I'm going to work out harder next year.
Well, we had a lot of other prizes as well. The spectacular sinking was unbelievable. We had seven people in a cardboard boat, one boat, and they made it, about a lap and a half before they went down. But when they went down, it was pretty big. That was our friends from TAC. If you've never seen seven people in a cardboard box trying to paddle, you should come next year because hopefully they do it again. We mentioned Henry Ford Allegiance Health won the best theme. They were Flintstones, and I think when the wheels came off their car in mid-lake, that helped them win. And Exit Realty won the People's Choice. They had a great showing as well. So a lot of support, a lot of love, and a whole lot of fun. I don't think we watched the drone video many times, and you couldn't find a single person that wasn't laughing and smiling.
So you're going to do it next year?
I think it's on, yeah. I want to see a boat from you, Greg. So you need to be in that.
We can start working on those vessels.
Actually, some have reused their same shell 2, 3, 4 times now if you waterproof them enough.
No kidding.
They get a little heavy because I have to help pull them out afterwards. But, some have reused the same shell.
So, Ken, talk about the campaign off and rolling.
Campaign is off and rolling. You know, we count on Consumers Energy to get us off to a good start. They do almost half of the total money we raise in this town because they're so committed and so large, and we can't thank them enough. They're going strong. They're almost done at Consumers. And signs are looking really good that our message around poverty and financial stability is working because we've had a lot of other positive stories as well. School districts are going through the roof when the teachers really understand all that we're doing with 2-on-1 and financial stability. Even though they're overworked and underpaid, they've been contributing mightily this year. A lot of good positive signs. But it's not too late. So if your company isn't planning to run a campaign, call Chad, call me. We'll bring out the bags. We'll show you how easy it is. 5 minutes, you can be off and going and making a real positive difference in your community. So
do you come out and talk to them?
That's really what works well, is if you give us 5 minutes to talk to the employees, 5 to 10 minutes, we have a really nice 90-second video this year that kind of shows what our work's about, and then we give a couple personal stories, like Chad said, how a real small difference, a couple bucks a week, can make a huge impact in someone's life. That's all we do, and then if people want to participate, the workplace makes it easy. Take a couple bucks a week out of your check, you hardly even miss it, and that money goes right into the community pot.
Ken, a lot of people are on their own. What about individual donations?
Absolutely, yeah. You can give through our website at uwjackson.org. There's a Donate Now link where you can give by credit card, or you can say, bill me if you want us to bill you every week, every month, every year. We can do that as well. You can send in a check or drop it off. But most important is that workplace campaign. If you are working somewhere that doesn't run the campaign, ask HR why not. Say, why can't we support the community? We'd like to do this. Give United Way 10 minutes and let us help change the world.
Okay, the big question, where's that money going?
The money's going right now to 27 different program partners that last year reached about 55,000 lives in this county. So more than a third of the households in Jackson are being touched directly by United Way. But our goal now is to get 5,000 households into a more financially stable position. That's a huge number. If we can succeed in that, by 2025, it's a long-term goal. It's not easy work. But if we can lift people out of poverty and get households from the working poor category to financially self-sufficient, that benefits everyone. It touches every single sector of this community.
Ken Toll, Chad Rumsey, being backed up by Mark Daly and Beth Schaefer today. Thank you, Ken. Anything else?
Give generously. This is the year to do it. If we can break out this year, we'll send a strong message that we're ready to end poverty in Jackson.
Big year at United Way. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Okay, next up, we've got Brown's Advanced Care Pharmacy, and I think they're having their Christmas party here. They brought everybody today for them today.
They don't know it, but it is the Christmas party.
I got this table.
And no, they can't go home at 3 o'clock.
I don't know if everybody's listening can see us here, but they got a table just full of women. I don't see any men. A little discrimination here, I think, you know, out there. And it's just full. I mean, I can't believe it. I see a big table. Like, if I could count real quick, there's like 10 of you or something like that, or 12 of you, or whatever there is. So we have to talk about that.
So, I could talk about them all day long.
would it make sense, Grant? That's what we
Not with
know.
You, Rick.
We could go on for a while here, I'll tell you. So Brown's Pharmacy, which I know real well, and actually knew, I didn't ever know your grandpa. Never knew him. I knew your mom and dad and everything else. Your mom, of course, still around. But pretty cool. I mean, 4 generations now you talk about here of Brown's yep. Pharmacy.
Yep. Austin graduated from the College of Pharmacy in April. He's the first third-generation pharmacist to graduate from the U of M College of Pharmacy in the history of the university. So.
Well, that's fantastic. Welcome home.
So I've done my introduction. Now it's up to you for the next 40 years.
Well, finally, they got somebody to know what they're doing around there. I'm going to get that by straightening around. I'll tell you, you know, you talk about all kinds of things, and of course, we all talk about, you know, everybody wants the latest, greatest drug. I mean, we all do. I do. You know, I want to make us feel better, jump.
And we play golf.
That's right. And you won't bring them to me, darn it.
I know. You only want to know about the cold medicine. That's yeah, and aspirin. Yeah.
No. I want to know
I
about.
Want to clarify that.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. We're going. I'm running this show.
Oops. Right.
No, you're not.
How am I doing, Greg?
Respect. What happened to respect? You know, Greg, help me, will you? Just can't get out of here. See, I guess we have to talk about something serious now. Then, you know, like flu vaccines and all that.
Okay,
kind of
let
stuff.
Me give you the smart guy, Austin Brown.
Austin, you know about flu vaccines?
I think I can help with that.
Are they really? Should we all do it?
Absolutely.
We should all do it.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of you get a lot of mixed reviews in the press and the things you read these days. But where the science stands, it is absolutely recommended that everybody come flu season get vaccinated to protect themselves against the flu.
You know, and then they've got this special one for guys like Greg, 65 and older. You know. That's special now. Is that really something that's different? Is that
yeah, so there's studies have been shown that for people that are of the age 65 and over, there is a high-dose vaccine that is a product available that has been shown to provide better protection for people ages 65 and over. So that is an option. That is a trivalent vaccine, which means that when the vaccines are developed on a yearly basis, that covers against the 3 major strains that are predicted to cause illness. And they concentrate that vaccine a little bit more to provide more of the antigen that protects and builds that immune response. The quadrivalent vaccine, which carries the 3 main strains that they protect against, it also includes an additional one that's for the influenza B virus. And that is also an option for people that if they don't want the high-dose vaccine, they can still get the quadrivalent and be well-protected.
No, you know, I thought you had a question. All right. Greg doesn't have a question. No, I guess basically, you know, because you always hear some people say, I'm not taking that vaccine, and all. It doesn't take care of all these flus and this virus and all everything else out there. And I guess it can't do everything, but it's important for most of the main ones, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even when, you know, one of the arguments we hear is, oh, I never get the flu. You know, so what's the point of me getting the vaccination? Well, one of the things that people sometimes forget about is a thing called herd immunity. And even if you are one of the lucky few that don't get the flu during the flu season, one of the things that's also beneficial about you getting that vaccine is for the people in our population that may have problems with their immune system or they have a contraindication to getting a vaccination for a variety of health reasons. They are at risk from that virus. And one of the ways that we can help protect them is the people that are able to get vaccinated are getting the vaccine, and then there's less chance of the virus spreading. So we are actually protecting the people that are unable to get vaccinated when we all go and get one.
Well, you know, you got a couple of new programs you're talking about, which I think are really interesting, too, about the medications, people taking multiple medications, and everybody worries about is this one good or bad. And you guys are going to actually do some counseling on that? We could come in there and really sit down with you and say, I'm taking the following drugs, and is it okay? I mean, we're almost second-guessing the doctors, I guess, to some degree. But What's that all about?
Yeah, so we have patients come into the store sometime, and they, you know, they'll have a bag of stuff, and they'll throw it on the counter, and they'll look at us and go, I don't even know what half of these are for. And so one of the things that we provide, it's called medication therapy management. And a lot of insurances are actually providing patients the opportunity for free to sit down with their pharmacist and have an appointment-based session where the pharmacist will go over all your medications with you, help you understand the reason you're taking it, is the dose appropriate, is the drug even necessarily based on the disease state or the conditions that you're experiencing, and then we'll speak with the patient on, you know, are they tolerating this well, are there any issues that you're having with it, and then if the patient voices any major concerns, then the pharmacist relays that information to the provider, and then we work together with the provider to come up with the best drug therapy regimen and the ultimate plan of care for what the patient wants as well. And then that is a service that we, and then we relay back that information to the patient, and the doctor is all on board, and it brings the, you know, the triangle of care with all the major providers being involved with what the patient wants with their drugs.
I think it's a great idea because, you know, half the time, do we take it with food, without food, take it at night, take it in the morning, take, you know, all those different things out there. And we need counseling on that. We really, really do. Hey, what about, I know it's not one of your questions, what about vitamins? Should we be taking vitamins? You just came out of school, so you know all this stuff now. You're a smart guy.
Yeah, so there are certain situations where, yeah, for patients, you know, taking that multivitamin, absolutely. If you want the you know, the daily vitamins or minerals that you can get from those, for sure. It's always important when you are looking into starting, you know, a vitamin or any supplement for that matter. Always important to check with the pharmacist, if there's, especially if there's other prescription drugs you're taking. Sometimes with certain supplements, depending on the medications you're taking, for example, let's say if you're on Coumadin, which is a very popular blood thinner, there might be components of that multivitamin or of that supplement you want to try because you heard it's good for joint pain or you heard it's good for, you know, brain health. There could actually be a drug interaction with certain supplements that interacts with that Coumadin that could put you at risk for, let's say, having a bleed. So it's always important to check before you start any kind of supplement or a vitamin, to check with the pharmacist, make sure there's no major drug interactions there.
I thought vitamins are all natural and they can't hurt anything.
That would be incorrect.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you told us that now. Everybody heard it out there. You know, we hear all these things right now about opioids and everything. I mean, what are you seeing on that? You're seeing it's still prescribed a lot by the doctors, because I'm a big believer that, you know, it's overprescribed and too many people are getting hooked on these drugs. What's your insight into all that?
Yeah, there is, you know, we see that all over the news as well. There is a major opioid issue in the United States, and one of the things that it's important for people to know is they ever have questions, they can always come into the pharmacy and ask about that, and physicians and pharmacists are really trying to... pain recommendation at this time. There might be other things that we can do that are even, you know, non-pharmacological. Is there, you know, orthopedic services? Is there some kind of a patch or a lifestyle modification that we can use that gets overlooked because those harder to get that ultimate goal we want, which is live a pain-free life. And so we're starting to look at what the research shows about other ways that we can alleviate pain without going right to opioid drugs.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we do get a control on all that out there. The big question I had for you is, does your father really bring any value to the organization anymore?
Well, you play golf with him, you tell me.
Doesn't have any value out there, I'll tell you. Other than his low handicap, yeah. Your low handicap, he pays out. Yeah, that's why we appreciate that very much. We do. But so the pharmacy of the future, the pharmacy, I mean, obviously you guys are still, you compound drugs as such out there, which, I don't know, does anybody do that around here? I mean, I didn't even know. You guys actually make drugs.
Right? Yeah, we have a great team over at Robinson Road that does a lot of compound services. We see, you know, when people have, for whatever reason, they might not tolerate an ingredient that is in one of the manufactured medications, or if it's, a lot of times we'll see them with pediatric patients, a lot of kids that maybe they don't tolerate pills yet, or they're too young, and they have something from the hospital, from the doctor, says they need this, but it doesn't, you know, the formulation they need is not commercially available. So we're able to get that prescription, and we work a lot with the resources that are available from the University of Michigan. They have a lot of really good compounding guides, and we see a lot of their patients, actually, and they'll come into the pharmacy and we will compound their medications for them, show the caregivers and the parents how to appropriately administer the dose and how to use them, especially if there's any equipment involved with that. And we'll walk them through that whole process so they can use that compounded prescription appropriately.
Well, that's, you know, it's great. You guys are always interesting here to come here. I mean, again, all of America's, we take more drugs than anywhere, any place in the world, I think, you know, and we all want that magic pill. But so we got to close out. Anything else you guys want to tell us about your Christmas party or anything here?
Here comes the value add. Yeah, no, we've had a really great few years. Looking forward to Austin coming on board. Really looking forward to Michigan Avenue being done along with every other retailer in Jackson. So that we would like to say thank you to the entire community from that perspective, because we've had everybody find every back road into Michigan Avenue and our medical equipment store. And actually July was one of our biggest months of the entire year, simply from loyalty. Like the other retailers, we've struggled with the people that come in through the front door as a result of just driving by, because they're being circumvented around all of Michigan Avenue. But, you know, we're looking at some opportunities for expansion and growth, and really excited about the future. We're working on a Pharmacy 2020 plan right now. So we're really excited, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys, too, and thank you so much. Brown's Advanced Pharmacy.
Thank you. Take a break for the news at 8 o'clock. We'll be back with more. Good morning, Greater Jackson from Bella Notte.
We now return to Good Morning, Greater Jackson. Once again, your hosts, Greg O'Connor and Rick Walton.
Welcome back.
We're back. We've got a
part two.
Part two, and I'm telling you, part two is going to be just as good as part one. Right, Kathy?
Absolutely.
We are so fortunate today, and we're going to talk about Challenge Day.
That's right.
Is that correct? And we have Kathy Breckenbauer with us and Beth James. And Challenge Day, which is a challenging day, interesting day, an emotional day.
It is.
A good day. So
you know it.
So you've been heading this up for a lot of years, right, Kathy?
We've been doing, this will be our 11th year to do a middle school Challenge Day here in Jackson. And right. we are inviting 750 kids from 18 middle schools in Jackson, every middle school in Jackson, to participate in some training on self-esteem and self-awareness, kindness, respect, support, right. How to implement those safely, intervene with children who are bullied. Right. So it's a great day.
Let's talk about how that all came about, because I know it's a national organization. So let's talk about, you know, what this is doing, and you're bussing them in and all that. Just tell a little bit about the program and the day.
Okay.
The days, really.
So, right. So we're going to be doing 6 challenge days with about 125 kids a day from 2 to 3 schools per site per day. It will be at Jackson College and Western High School this year for our challenge days on November 6th, 7th, and 8th. So we've broken into 2 teams, and the schools have a day, and they bus their kids in, and they join kids from other schools, and we pay for the Challenge Day organization to come in, and they have professional trainers who train these kids, and we have to have about 1 adult for every 4 students in the room, and they go through all sorts of activities to learn more about themselves, learn more about each other, and learn more about what everybody has the right to respect as far as how they're treated and just how to do it well.
Right. I mean, if anybody's ever attended this, and you're always looking for volunteers to be part of this, because they take, you know, people in the community that come in and sit with these kids. You know, like you said, about 4 kids. Stand, jump, you do.
Yeah,
you yell,
Ted's going to tell you, you have to dance badly. You have to run across the room, not fast, but run across the room. There are a lot of things you do. It's a very active day.
Well, it is. And, you know, and again, it's to... It's more of just a respect thing about the respect of the world and your fellow classmates and everything else. Now, is the ISD, are they the ones that basically have coordinated this over all the years? Or?
Well, we're a partner. So the Martin Luther King Diversity Committee, which puts on the annual MLK breakfast here in town, has been doing projects of some sort for 14, 15 years. The last 10, we've done middle school challenge days. So we're a partner between the Chamber, the Jackson Human Relations Commission, and the Jackson ISD. The ISD is the fiscal agent, and we do their direct contacts with the schools for students. But every partner has a role in this. So, yeah, it's really huge. We have a committee of about 10, 15 people, and I want to tell you that about 14 of them are active every month doing something for this. You know, I mean, it might be different 14, but I mean, we all have jobs, and we're all really busy doing this all year round.
So there's a follow-up to it after you put these kids through the program?
There is. Beth, you want to talk about follow-up?
So the big part of Challenge Day is making sure that what we help teach these kids is continued throughout the year and as they go through school and beyond. So the one thing Challenge Day asks and that we ask and that the schools are now required to report for their bullying reports is what's going on. So as part of the Challenge Day and as an avenue for their bullying reports, we man a social media page. I kind of control that along with a few other people to really give them an avenue to post what's going on, to talk with the committee, to ask questions, and really make sure that the message is carried throughout.
Well, it is. I mean, I hope people really understand what it is, because I don't know if anybody here has been a child at one time in their life or not. But yeah. if you had, then you go to school.
Been a while.
Well, what? You haven't been? You haven't, you and Greg? I didn't think so. No, and these kids go to school, you know, being a child, the challenges of school, the bullying or whatever, being part of or whatever it happens to be. And they try to address so many of these things there and bring these kids into this and really bring out some things. I mean, if you've never done this, you ought to try it sometime. But it's an emotional thing. And they do something at the end of the day where they draw a line in the floor, basically, and they ask if you've ever experienced this in your life. And I could get emotional about this, I'll tell you, because it breaks your heart when you talk about, have you ever had a childhood? I mean, it's one of the things there. And some of these kids walk across the line because they had to grow up so early. And I mean, it's just, I think it's an incredible program. I hope that the schools have done a great job with it. I hope that they really follow up and address some of these kids, because some of these kids, the you know, situations they come from and go into is just amazing. So it's really respecting at the end. You have a lot of kids, you know, hugging everybody and you know, hopefully creating that fellowship and that friendship and everything else out there. But
when we get a lot of good feedback from the schools, we send out a report, and the students actually take a survey of what they learned from Challenge Day and how it affects them moving forward. And we've gotten a lot of really good feedback from them, so we can constantly improve and make things better. It is an emotional day, not just for the students, but for the adults that are facilitating with us. We recommend you do one day. Like, it's not just changing the student's life, it will change your life.
Right. Yeah, because you're looking for volunteers, and what are you asking from the volunteer then?
So really we're asking the volunteers to dedicate a day. We say we're doing 6 challenge days, but we only ask that you do a day because of the emotional toll it's going to put on you. So what that day entails is you get there about 7:15 in the morning, and you stay until 2:30. A lot of people think that their work won't work with them, but it's a great opportunity to support the community and support our future in Jackson, because we reach every school. So every single school is impacted, and one adult could change the life for so many kids.
Right, and you do this over 6 days you're doing it?
We actually do it over 3 days, but 2 locations.
Okay.
So it would be 6 challenge days in total. Jackson County is one of the only in the challenge day organization that they work with that actually does the full county. Most of the time they'll just do a group in a school or the community, but Jackson County is the biggest in the area.
So,
in the world.
Right, and then you're asking for volunteers to sign up just one of the days, and you got options of 3 days then to do this and to participate. How many kids do you think you'll put through this program?
Well, we do 125 a day, so we're looking at, what, 750 total every year that we do this.
And they come from a variety of schools around the area.
Every school. Every school County participates.
And what grades are they again? All sevenths and eighths? Is that what they are?
We have seventh graders that we work with because that's the perfect age. They're getting ready to gear up to go into high school. It's the prime time to reach them because that's when they're starting to experience it the most, and that's when they're really getting into the different cultures, and we're really seeing the biggest impact.
Okay, so what are you doing after the fact then? How are you doing to help these kids after, you know, one day of this training, and then what do you do to keep it going?
Yeah, so a lot of people ask, what's the point? It's only going to affect one day of their life. But it affects so much more because the things that they learn and what they take away, the schools reiterate that, and they continue to build on what you learned there and pull it back into the schools. Kathy?
Right, so every school district is required to do at least 3 reinforcement activities afterwards. Yeah. Plus, if somebody needs special attention, we have a partnership with Lifeways, and referrals are made for, you know, family social work situations and that kind
sure.
of thing.
Sure. Well, yeah, we have to wrap it up, but I think it's really a great program. You guys do a great job with it, and it's almost as fun for the kids. At the same time, it's an emotional thing, and some things come out. I mean, it's frightening things come out of this, but it's really good stuff. So if you can do it, you know, tell us how to get a hold of you and what you need.
Sure. There are 2 choices. You can either email our volunteer coordinator. That's Kathy Ott, K-A-T-H-Y dot Ott, O-T-T, dot J, or at jcisd.org, or you can go to jacksonmiddleschoolchallenge.com. And that will refer you to sign up. And it will also give you a list or a description of the job description, basically, of a volunteer.
Great. Or call the chamber. Thank you so much.
Real quick on the Jackson Middle School Challenge, it will direct you to the chamber page. You are still in the right place.
Yes. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, I'm telling you, we're just having so much fun today, we can't stand it. It is fun. I do enjoy this. And we really have another organization. We're talking about another great organization. I mean, it's all sincerity in what you guys are doing for Jackson. And we always, you know, always ask the question, who the heck are you? What do you do? But Center for Family Health, and we've got Molly and Terry here today to talk about it. So welcome, and just kind of, like I say, I still say most of Jackson really doesn't understand what you are. There's big buildings down there that kind of look like a hospital type thing, and what the heck do you do, and who do you serve, and all that. But welcome, Molly.
Thank you very much, Rick. Nice to be here with you. And you too, Greg. So Center for Family Health, we have these big buildings. They are not a hospital. We are what's called a community health center. So we're like a giant family doctor and dentist office. We serve 29,000 people in 2 counties, Jackson and Hillsdale. And we have pediatricians, family doctors, OBGYN, dentists, you name it. Whatever you need for your basic primary care, we provide it to anybody who wants to use our services. So,
right. Anybody basically can go here. I mean, you work in conjunction with a hospital. You're not competition to the hospital.
That's correct. We have a lot of great partners, including with the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the things you just mentioned, I think everybody has to understand that this is available to pretty much anybody out there, OBGYN, whatever it happens to be. And right. Now you've got a new program. You've got a whole brand new one out there too, right? The dental program?
Correct. It's not really new. We've been doing dental since 2001, right. But we've really expanded so we can serve adults because adults were not getting the accessibility, if you will, to dental services. And so as of May of last year, with our new dental building downtown, we're able to serve any adults who want to come to us. So we're, and we do this, we're what's, you know, you asked what we are. Our really funky name is we're what's called a federally designated health center, a federally qualified health center. So we get some federal grant funding, for example, and that helps us provide services to people who are uninsured because we still have a lot of people in Jackson who don't have health insurance or maybe their health insurance isn't very good and they don't have a lot of family income. So we make sure that they can get the care they need and it's affordable for them based on their income. But I also wanted to mention and to our listeners and folks who are out there that we're one of 45 such health centers in Michigan, 1,400 across the nation. And we do get federal funding, federal grant funding, and that grant funding is up for reauthorization right now in Congress. And with all the hoopla going on in Washington right now. We want to make sure that Congress really understands the importance of what we do and hears from our local folks. So if anyone wants to get in touch with Congressman Wahlberg to ask him to really keep in mind the impact that we have on Jackson, that would be wonderful. We'd really appreciate it. Because the deadline for that's coming up Friday. Yeah, September 30th. Our funding goes 70% of our funding goes bye-bye.
Unless they approve it, you're talking about, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct, unless it's reauthorized.
Well, that would be obviously devastating, wouldn't it, Molly?
It would. So we get about $3.8 million in federal grant funding, and 70% of that would be eliminated. And not just ours. All 1,400 health centers across the nation would lose 70% of their funding, which means a lot of patients could be impacted by this. Again, across, not just here in Jackson, but across the nation, people could lose access to care. And none of us want that to happen. So if we can get Congress to understand that this isn't something to mess around with, let's just get it reauthorized and keep going so we don't interrupt care for anybody at all.
Terry, you have a project coming up this weekend?
Sure. We have a medication take-back event coming up on Saturday. We are partnering with U of M Medical Facility to look at how we can get our prescription cabinets restocked in terms of taking away old medicine, taking away some of the opiates that families don't need to really use. So from 10 to 2 at the Center for Family Health at our main facility at 505 Jackson, North Jackson Street, we will be working with the local police department and U of M to take back all medication. So, yeah.
And you're going to do that again, what, next month?
We'll be offering that again in October, so October 28th, September 30th this weekend, and then again October 28th. So we're really excited about that.
You've done this before, right, Terry?
We have done this before, and we actually have a permanent box that sits in our pharmacy. So anytime anyone can come on by and get prescriptions filled and drop off their old prescriptions as well.
Do a lot of people take advantage of that to get rid of their old prescriptions?
So we are starting to see real growth there. I mean, folks are really starting to look at what they can do to help reduce opiate addiction or prescription medication in their homes. The other good thing about this is that the old way of doing things, people, you might remember that most of us was told to flush our medication down the toilet. Well, for the most part, that contaminates our water source. So what we're really encouraging folks to do is to look at these opportunities in which they can bring those old medications back to the pharmacy and drop them off in a safe way.
So that new dental building, is that all dental there in the dental building?
It's all dental, and we're really excited about it. As you all probably are aware, we've been open in the new facility for a little more than a year. We are doing some fantastic work with adults as well as kids in that building. We want to just encourage folks to come out because we know that dental needs is a real issue here in our community, and we feel like we can really help, particularly with the adult population.
So what's your typical patient? What's the profile on that typical patient? Is there a typical patient that you see?
Boy, I wouldn't. No, there isn't. We have, out of the 29,000 folks we serve, about 12,000 are children. The other 15,000 are adults ranging anywhere from 18 to 90-something. So all ages. There really isn't a typical. About 65% of our patients do have Medicaid, about 20% have some form of commercial insurance, and about 10% are uninsured, and then there's some Medicare in there as well.
Okay. All right, well, let's make sure we go tell our congressman to vote for
this funding.
Yes. I know you guys serve us real well and really meet a need in this community. Meet a need. So thank you. Thank you to both of you for coming today.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Everybody else.
Molly Kaser and Terry Langston. Matt Swartzlander.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Greater Jackson. We're broadcasting live from Bella Notte this morning. Thank you to Dave and Annette for feeding us this morning and taking care of the place. I'd like to thank our sponsors, United Way, Center for Family Health, Dr. Mark McFerrin Dentistry, the entire team from Brown's Advanced Care Pharmacy, and our chamber segment this morning, sponsored by Michigan International Speedway. If you're just tuning in, you can hear the podcast on WKHM.com, clicking on the audio archive link. And I'd like to extend a big thank you to our members of the Ambassador Committee, sponsored by Flagstar Bank this morning, Molly Bolton from Edward Jones and Adrian Davis from the Center for Family Health. So thank you. And also, it's time again for, if you are listening at the office or at home, you can give our chamber office a call at 782-8221. Our first two callers will get a door prize. So it's something new that we're doing. And since Cindy Hayden is not here this time, she can call in and get that. Our new members from the last month, Albion Motors, Buffalo Wild Wings, Summit Pet Supply, Watson Diesel Service, New Mobility Solutions, Spring Arbor University Online, The Detail Guys, Oliver and Agency Insurance, Our Neighbor's Keeper, Countryside, a Planned Adult Community, AirServe of Southern Michigan, Tie Those Knots, Campaign for Truth, Carl Rice Jr. for State Rep, Rush Jackson, Pangborn Landscape, Peak Manufacturing, Akova Studios, Awaken Haunted House, Transportation Audit and Recovery Services, and Health Quest of Jackson. So a round of applause for our new members. All right, coming up is a big month for the Chamber. We have Brew with the Board on October 6th, and October 19th is JAXPO. Start off with our economic luncheon, go right into our JAXPO event. We're having speed networking this year at that event, so we're excited about that. And then we finish off the evening with our JAXPO after hours.
Perfect.
So a full Chamber day. We're excited. That's coming up really quick. We have two booths left. So spread the word, two booths left. If you're thinking about doing it, do it quick. Talk to Pat O'Dowd. All right. Thanks for everybody for coming. This morning we have Beltone Hearing, CP Federal Credit Union, Cleary University, Comerica Bank, Commonwealth Commerce Center, Consumers Energy, County National Bank, Creative Promotions, Edward Jones Investments, Kelly Langley, Integro, Jackson County Prosecutor Jerry Jarzinka, Jackson District Library, Jackson Publishing Company, Northwest Community Schools, Security and Financial Advisors of the Great Lakes, Teach Out Security Solutions, Diverse Staffing, Schistler Certified, Rooney Sewer Service, Keeping It Clean, and Dancy's Fancy Butter. Dancy's Fancy Butter. All right, thank you again to everybody for coming out this morning, and have a wonderful day.